The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Tipperary native Roz Purcell has been busy finding some daycations around Ireland for Discover Ireland. So if you're trying to make the most out of the last days of the summer holidays, and we really are on those last days now, Roz joins me this morning with some suggestions for the southeast and beyond. You're very welcome, Roz.
Thanks for having me. And can I just say, I love Beat.
Oh,
I listened to it all growing up. Yeah. And like, obviously being from Tipperary, it was like our proper like music dance station. So I absolutely love it. And I still do when I go home to Tip and stuff. So yeah, massive fan.
Brilliant. I'm delighted to hear that. Do you find Clonmel has even changed since you lived there full time?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like it has changed. Like it hasn't changed, I suppose. The layout is still the same, but obviously there's, you know, like new things. Like obviously my sister owns a coffee shop there, Fetch.
Yeah,
and you know, that's brought a little bit more new life to the town as well, and there's always queues, and it's kind of an outdoor coffee shop, so you just see lots of more people meeting up. There's like run clubs and stuff like that, so it's become a, definitely coming down from Dublin, and when I have my weekends in Clonmel, it's becoming a little more cosmopolitan. And a bit more like Dublin and stuff, and you know, it's changed a little bit in some ways, and in some ways it stayed the same.
Yeah, and there was a great festival there over the summer. I think it was their second or third year of it, called When Next We Meet. And so lovely little boutique things like that happening,
yes,
in Clonmel,
yeah,
too. And I have an American friend over at the moment, and what I'm really seeing Ireland and the southeast with new eyes because of her. What I've really noticed is that we have a coffee shop for every single scenic spot that you will go to. And we don't, it's not just like coffee, it's really good produce that we have as well. It's made me quite proud to bring her around and see not just, you know, the sights, but all the food we have on offer too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why I make a big emphasis on tying in good coffee shops and food spots with, for example, the hikes I recommend, because, you know, that adds so much value to your day when you're traveling around, like getting that good food. And we're just so lucky in Ireland. And, you know, I've been really lucky to travel abroad and to travel to lots of different, you know, outdoor destinations. And we do have the best food.
We really do.
We really do.
Yeah, really good stuff. And you've been working as an ambassador for Foilte Ireland's Discover Ireland. What are your non-negotiables if you're taking a day trip somewhere in the southeast or beyond? Like, as we said, is food involved? Is there an activity? What do you like to fill that day with?
So food is my number one priority, because, you know, if you're not, I'm sorry, if you're not getting good food, getting good coffee, like, I don't know how the day's going to go, uh-huh, you know? So I build my itineraries around like, my, like the breakfast and lunch places I want to go to, because I think like they're the real strong anchors to your day. Like, you know, when you're finished off doing a big tour or something, some activity, you just want to like plonk down and you want to eat some good food and refuel, you know. So food for me is like essential, and I build my itineraries kind of around the food. Obviously I love hiking, I love outdoors, but you know, sometimes in my itineraries I don't have hiking. I might just do some other type of activity, like go to the Guillemines and go for a swim, or you know I'll plan a tour. Like, I actually, one of my favorite things is the history of Ireland. I feel like when, you know, I wasn't always a big fan of going on tours until a couple of years ago when I started actually just taking a tour and realized there's just so much history that we've never learned about Ireland. And wherever you are, like, maybe you're in Waterford and you decide to do the King of the Vikings virtual experience, you can learn so much that otherwise you just may not know about that city, you know. So I kind of try to have a nice mix of activity, some moving, really good food, and learning something as well.
Yeah, great stuff. I interviewed a guy a couple of weeks ago who has a website called Mystery Trails, and he incorporates all the history of certain areas into like treasure
love
hunts
that,
and into like little investigations and stuff like that. And the amount of stuff that you find out about your area or other places that you go to, it really shows you what like hidden gems we have here in the southeast. And we're kind of guilty in, you know, being very proud of our county and staying in our county. Do you, after Tipperary, I have a funny feeling Waterford might be your next favourite county. You post a lot about the Cumaras and the Guillemines, as you said, and Tramore. Is that somewhere where you like to go in particular, County Waterford?
Now look, I am a proud Tip woman, and Tip is the primary county, but the data is pretty awesome as well. So I live on the border of Tipperary and Waterford, so I actually live near Kilsheelan. So the river there, the river shore, is the border. So, you know, I have the best of both worlds. I live like 15 minutes from the Cumber Mountains. So I do just naturally spend a lot of time in Waterford. And growing up, we, every sunny day, we went to Conay Beach, we went to Strath Valley, we went to Waterford. You know what I mean? Like Tipperary, we don't have any beaches, okay? So I spend a lot of time in Waterford. And even still, when I go home, we'll spend a half day in Waterford. Like, not only the great food, like Waterford City has some amazing spots, but if you go to Tramore, Dungarvan, Dunmore East, you not only have the great food spots, you also have the fantastic beaches. Like, I'm sorry, the beaches along the Copper Coast are insane.
Oh, they're stunning. So stunning. And then you have the Greenway as well, of course.
Of course, the Greenway. And like, what I find really fascinating about the Greenway and what I love about it is, you know, you don't have to be super fit to go do it because you can just do sections of it. And it's really well organized now in that you can kind of jump on at Kilmacthomas and cycle into Dungarvan and leave your bikes there. You don't have to go back and forth the way it's organized now. And then, of course, the food places like Doon Bakery. Absolutely. It's a Seagull Bakery.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amazing.
Like, I absolutely just think Waterford is one of those places that, for, you know, everywhere you go, you could go somewhere that has a really just a small little town or village, there's going to be a great food spot mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. It's impressive. It's phenomenal. And then obviously the hiking in general, like Dunmurray's Cliff Walk. You obviously have Ardmore Cliff Walk and then the Cumber Mountains. Like, you are really spoiled for choice. And mm-hmm. I'm saying that's a tip moment. So, you know.
And then what about some of the inland? Because I could talk about Wexford all day and the Cahor Cliff Walk and all those things. But then I always find there's such hidden gems when it comes to Tipperary and places like Carlow as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm a massive fan of like going up Mount Leinster or Slievebawn. Mm. I think Slievebawn, that's the one beside Mount Leinster. And it's like, it's only maybe 15 minutes from the car park, actually has the best sunset. Oh. So you get to kind of look across at everything. Yeah. So that's like my ultimate sunset spot in that area. And it's absolutely beautiful. And there's just so many great food spots and swim spots when you're inland as well, when you're around that area. I know even James Kavanagh has moved down to that area mm-hmm. recently. So, yeah. You know, you've taken him from Dublin as well. Because, and he, I remember when we were chatting about it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, you've gone down to Kilkenny now. And he's like, the food and the swim spots, oh, like, yeah, you know, amazing. You just don't get that. Yeah. And the sense of community as well. And then, of course, like where I'm from in South Tipperary, like you do have places like the Rock of Cashel. Mm. You have places like Carey's Castle in Clonmel. You have the Nyre Valley. You have Slievenamon Mountain. So there is just so many beautiful places. And I do it myself, we kind of get hung up on the coastline because of the beaches and mm-hmm. stuff. But we have such great places when we go further in as well that are just absolutely stunning and equally have incredible history as well.
Yeah, so much going on. We really have come into our own when it comes to, you know, promoting and having so much availability around. Like, we know we look gorgeous here in the southeast and beyond and Ireland in general. But now we're really offering people lots of different options when it comes to activities, historic stuff, as you said, different tours. And the food is such the big thing as well. Now, dogs, Roz. I have a new, very needy rescue in my life. Small dog. I've never had a small dog before and I've realised they are the neediest type of dog. He has to come everywhere with us. But it's quite impressive the amount of places that are dog friendly in the southeast.
Yeah, no, and I have to say the southeast, you know, when I was having a think about this before a call, I was like, there's actually so many in the southeast in comparison to maybe coming up to Dublin and stuff. So, you know, like for me, I also have a small rescue, Jack Russell, half Chihuahua, and he looks at you and he makes you feel so guilty if you don't bring him absolutely everywhere. So, for example, like I did a day trip recently with my dogs where I started off going down to Wexford Town. And I went to the Trough.
Oh, yes,
which is
very popular.
A beautiful cafe. Oh, my God. And they've got plenty of outdoor seating as well. Mm-hmm. And then we went and we did Ravenwood's Point.
Lovely.
Amazing beach and hike, you know, and the trail is really well marked, super dog friendly. And then you obviously have the beach beside it. And then we headed down to Feather by the Sea and we went to Grawlin. And then you have Bagbuggin Beach. There's just so much to do. And like, they're all dog friendly. You know, you can enjoy them while bringing your dogs with you and make sure that they don't feel left out. There's so many things. And obviously you have a place that we always go with our dogs in Dungarvan is 360 Cookhouse.
They're one of the first dog friendly places I heard of in the southeast.
That's another place. You know, that's somewhere that's absolutely fantastic, you know, to go with your dogs. So yeah, you're really lucky
Yeah, we really need to appreciate what we have here in the Southeast and beyond as well. Look, you were you are an ambassador for Discover Ireland, and Discover Ireland has some really great suggestions on their website. It's discoverireland.ie. Lots of suggestions on things to do for every region in Ireland, from city breaks to the great outdoors. It's up there on the website, and you have loads of videos up on your Instagram as well, Ross, for some great daycations. I took some of your advice for the daycation to Wicklow recently and went off to Firehouse in Wicklow Town. We have one in Goree in County Wexford as well, but it's so nice. So you can follow Roz and Roz Purcell, of course, on Instagram if you're not doing so already. Roz, thank you so much for joining me on the Sunday Grill this morning.
Can I give one more suggestion?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh my God, please everyone go
where?
To Lismore for
Lismore.
Today.
Lismore! Yes.
Lismore Castle, you have Vanillo Bakery, you have the Gate, and you have Ballysagartmore Towers Walk. So I don't want to leave that out.
Ballysacker.
There you go.
Lovely. And I love all the food suggestions as well. So thanks a million, Roz. And thanks for joining us this morning.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
As we hurtle towards September, it can really feel like a new year as schools and colleges return. So if you're thinking of trying something new, then you might be interested in volunteering at a children's hospital as a play volunteer. The independent charity Children in Hospitals has been around since 1970, and it sets out to create a positive experience for children and families in hospital. They're currently looking for play volunteers in Waterford University Hospital, Wexford General Hospital and St Luke's in Kilkenny. Elizabeth Moran is the volunteer manager, and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me, Orla. It's a pleasure.
No bother at all. I've never heard of a play volunteer before, and yet Children in Hospital have a team of over 300 volunteers across 14 hospitals nationwide. They offer a play service. Explain that to me.
Absolutely. Our volunteers are second to none. They go in on a weekly basis into hospitals all across the country. So those three, Waterford, Wexford and Kilkenny, we're recruiting for it in the moment, but we have volunteers all around the country. And they give up 2 hours of their week on a regular day and time to go in and to facilitate play for children and for families, and just provide a bit of community, a bit of normality, a bit of fun and giggles into what can be a very stressful environment.
Okay.
And sometimes that looks like reading a book or drawing a picture or colouring in or something really very simple. And sometimes it's a game of cards or a board game. It's really about what the child and the family would like to do.
Is there kind of what a play volunteer looks like? You know, are they parents themselves, or are they maybe people in college who might be doing a child related sort of degree or course? What are your volunteers like?
Yes, to all of those. We have volunteers from 18 straight up into their 80s. We have, as you say, early childhood education students. We have retired nurses. We have accountants. We have lawyers and teachers and all sorts. So from all walks of life, we have volunteers of all ages and interests. And it always comes back to the child and to that piece of fun and play. And so no matter who we partner up, our volunteers tend to get on very well with each other because they all have that common interest of being of support and being a piece of their community and having fun while doing it.
So there is no average play volunteer then?
No. And no experience required, just a willingness to play and have some fun. No previous experience required.
Okay, good stuff. Now, it's 2 hours a week you said you need to commit to?
2 hours a week, and we ask for a commitment of a year.
Okay.
And that's because volunteers partner with one another. So you and your partner go in to volunteer together and are reliant on each other for being there and to be able to go in and to give your time. And the hospitals then also might tell a family, oh, we have volunteers coming in on Monday afternoon. So there might be somebody here to give you a break. So they know that they're expecting volunteers in.
Okay. And as you said, it gives parents a break. But what does it do for children, these play volunteers?
Play is the way that children process the world. So it's an opportunity for them to process that experience, to disconnect from the experience, to take a piece of themselves back. Oh, you have Lego. I love Lego. I play Lego at home all the time. Let's pull that out and to reconnect with being themselves away from that medical experience. It's really, really important that children have the ability and the space to play no matter where they are. It's really vital to their life and their development.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to see some of the stats that are on your website as well, that in Ireland there are on average over 270,000 hospital visits by children, over 100,000 children have an average of a three-night stay. So a really scary time if you're small and you haven't experienced anything like this before.
Absolutely. And our volunteers go into play, whether it's in an outpatient's appointment, they might only be in for an hour or two just for a blood test, or they might be in regularly. You know, they might have a long-term condition or illness where they need to visit the hospital every couple of months, and you might get to see the same families again and again. But whether it's just your first experience for that first scary blood test, or you're in for an extended period of time, it's still really important that that experience is a positive one, to make sure that children are willing to go back to the hospital and back to the doctors, and that they can cope with their medical treatment going forward.
So tell me about the process then. So you can go on to childreninhospital.ie. Do you have to be Garda vetted already, or do you do all that?
No, we do all of that for you. So there's a lot to go through. It's child safeguarding, and hospital is a unique environment to be in as well. So there's health and safety pieces to the application and the training as well. But we'll walk you through all of it. So we know that it's a big process, and we don't want anybody to be intimidated or held back because of it. So we do a lot of support to help you get through it. So there's Garda vetting, reference checking, and we have informal group interviews, but it's really just a conversation to get to know you as a volunteer and your interests, and for you to get to know us and to make sure that it's something that you would like to do as well. So that's what we really hope, that it's an enjoyable experience for the volunteers, that they're well supported, and that they get as much out of it as the kids in the hospital.
And then there's their training before they go in as play volunteers.
Absolutely. So we have a full day training day. There'll be Saturdays in September and October, and volunteers can choose the ones that are closest to themselves. So we'll be in Waterford the first weekend in October, and Kilkenny then the following weekend. So those two options there, they go through what the role looks like, what the boundaries of the role are, child safeguarding, play in a hospital environment. So even though a lot of our volunteers bring a huge amount of experience in playing with kids and teaching or all sorts of kind of child-based experiences, we'd look at it then through the lens of being in a hospital. So they're well prepared and supported. And then an experienced volunteer will meet them on their first day in the hospital and walk them through everything from where to put your coat to, you know, how to say hello to children and families in their rooms.
Lovely stuff. And you say that people need to commit to a year because they're teamed up with another volunteer. Do you find in general that people stay longer than the year?
Absolutely. We have a lot of volunteers who have been with us for 3, 5, and sometimes decades. So we have one volunteer just this June in Wexford celebrated her 20th anniversary with us. And we love when that happens. And we love when volunteers kind of come from word of mouth as well. We have lots of volunteers who have come through friends and family of other volunteers.
And what do they say it does for them when you hear people who've stayed for that amount of time? What kind of a impact is it having on those volunteers and their lives?
I think it's that opportunity to reconnect with their own sense of joy and fun. I think there's so much laughter to be had, even in what can feel, you know, a scary environment. A lot of people come in and go, oh, isn't it very sad? But there's so much joy that is held in the children's wards. I think the nurses and the doctors and everybody really make sure to reserve that space of kind of friendliness for kids, and being able to support, you know, fellow parents and community members. Means a lot. I think people really enjoy helping others as well.
Of course. Well, as we were saying, it has been happening since 1970, and with over 300 volunteers in 14 hospitals around Ireland. And at the moment, Children in Hospital are looking for play volunteers for St. Luke's in Kilkenny, Wexford General and Waterford University Hospital as well. The best place to get you really, Elizabeth, is the website, isn't it? Childreninhospital.ie. Is there a form to fill out there?
There is. There's a couple short little informational videos to show you what's in the application process and a little bit more about the role, and then a brief application form.
Okay, good stuff. Well, September can be really new year, new you. And if you've thought about volunteering or you're in a college course that involves teaching children or helping children, this might be for you. Or even if, as you were saying, Elizabeth, if you've left your job and you're looking for something worthy to do, well, then play volunteering in for children in hospitals might be just that. It's childreninhospital.ie. That's Elizabeth Moran, the volunteer manager. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it is Beat 102-103 on this Sunday morning. I hope you're doing well. We're going to do movies now, and I think we know by now that a science fiction horror thriller movie is just not my bag. Don't know if it's the science fiction. Don't know if it's the horror. It's definitely not the thriller. I love a thriller, but...
For me, it's the horror.
Is it?
So I'm like, horrors just aren't scary.
Well, that sort of horror, from what I've seen of Alien, isn't particular. The jump scares, I don't get that. I love an eerie horror. Yeah. But was Alien Romulus up there in the black puddings for our Brian? That's BG over there. The king of the pokes. He's poked me 65 times now on Facebook.
Oh my days. Oh my days.
Who knew? I don't use Facebook anymore, and yet I go on daily in order to see whether you have poked me, because I am determined to poke you back.
Yeah, it's myself. I have two poke wars going, you and my friend Josh, so I do also check daily. And also, do you know what? Facebook, a forgotten masterpiece for telling you when people's birthdays are.
Oh yes, true, and your memories.
Yeah.
But Facebook is now sending me down weird. Like recently it told me about a ship coming into Dunleary and the name of the ship and the number from some Facebook page I just don't follow.
Oh, you're so lucky. I just missed it. I was looking forward to that ship coming in.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay.
Maybe it was friendship.
Aww. Let's talk Alien. Alien, of course, a massive franchise with iconic names even. Eileen Ripley, a.k.a. Sigourney Weaver, started it all off. Michael Fassbender has been in it. James Cameron has directed. David Fincher even. But what about this Alien Romulus? Brian went to see it. Let's have a listen and a chat after this.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Right. New plan. Can you manage yourself with the gun? Yes, I f***ing can. Right, this is an F-44A pulse rifle. It's rotating breech electronic pulse action. It's what the Colonial Marines used. AA stands for aiming assist. So, right, you put that under your arm. Right, this hand in. All right, aim it towards Andy. Pull the trigger halfway. Don't worry, the safety's on. See? Aiming assistance. If that thing comes towards you, you point it in this general direction, you'll never miss.
Where'd you learn all this?
Games and magazines.
There you go. That is Kaylee Spaney. Brian really had to explain that name for me off air. So Kaylee Spaney, she is Rain and the main character in Alien Romulus. And the male actor you hear there, if you have watched Industry, which has been a bit of a sleeper hit on BBC, that is David Johnson, who quit Industry to be in this blockbuster, which means big things for him, of course. Two English accents in there.
Yeah, it's a lot of English
accents.
A lot of cursing.
Mostly from the English accents.
I know. What else would you expect? Oh.
But don't you always see, like, it's always Irish or English people cursing in things, you know?
Ah, yeah, but, like, someone has to. I think it's because when Irish and English people curse and stuff, it's more like...
Has more impact.
It's just this is the way daily life is. Whereas Americans curse, like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't believe they called him that. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't call me that. I'm like, what, like, what's up? Are you okay?
Yeah,
like, you
exactly.
didn't insult me the minute I walked in here.
How do you feel about this? Alien in general.
Orla, if you want me to...
Do you look forward to these things?
I'll be completely honest. You know me. I'm completely honest when it comes to these things. I was not looking forward to going to see this.
Okay.
And I've seen
you
it.
Took one
I've
for
seen
the team.
I've seen the first Alien movie. I haven't seen Aliens, which everyone's like, that's the way better one.
Okay.
But I know what happens in it. So I've seen Prometheus. I've seen Alien Covenant.
Prometheus is the Michael Fassbender one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was another one as well. I've seen majority of them.
Mm.
And I've never come away from it and be like, that was good.
Yeah. And you like, know the way we have like Dune, like mega fans and, you know.
Alien mega fans.
Is there an Alien mega fan?
I think so.
Do you think?
Because this film right now, it has a 7.5 in IMDb, which for a movie like this, that's mad. That's brilliant. Because an 8.5 is an all-time one of the best movies ever made. So it's like, it's not far off. Like, it's not one of the best movies ever made, but it's, like, fantastic. And for me, I walked out of that and I was like, whew, thank God.
That's over.
Yeah, I'm like, I just, I don't find things scary, Orla.
I know, Brian.
Maybe this is an issue for our therapist, but I just don't find them scary.
Yeah, I know they're scares, but, like, it's more gory from the bits I've watched.
Oh, but sure, who cares about that? You see worse
than it is. No, I just, I don't want to watch it in the first place.
Like,
you know?
There's just weird stuff happening, and you're like, okay, why is this? Like, it's not even a case of, I don't mind weird stuff happening. I love, one of my favourite characters ever is Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Okay. Like, a weird character to the max.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, weird for the sake of weird is just kind of stupid then, like, you know, it's like, because this movie is about to end a couple of times and then something else happens and then there's a whole other twist.
Okay.
And it's like the last 20 minutes is like, why? That's, I don't know. I came out of it and I was like, this is like, obviously it's an alien movie. People get killed in it. Mm. And you're just like, I've no attachment to these characters at all because it never sets them up properly. So,
okay.
I don't know. I'm pretty negative Nelly now this week.
I'm just trying to see the amount of movies there are. There's the original series, which was, there was three of them from 79, 86, 92. Then there was Resurrection, Aliens versus Predator movies, of which there seems to have been three as well. Then Requiem, Prometheus. So this seems to have been over 10. So where are we here? Are we prequeling? Are we sequeling? What are we doing?
This is a sequel to the first or second one. I can't remember which one it is because I haven't seen the second.
See, even that's confusing. So like, that's what I mean. Is this for the mega
but
fan?
But it's, I think it's, you need the knowledge of some other ones because they mention like Prometheus in it. But I haven't seen Prometheus since it came out in like 2016. Mm. So I can't remember what that was about.
8 years ago.
And it's, I don't know, if you're into Alien, you probably have a great time. There's people, because I walked out of it and I was like, oh my God. And then there was people walking out behind us and they were like, oh my God, that was so good. And I was like, when?
Mm.
When? Do you know?
And was it confusing?
I mean, there's aliens and their aliens are trying to kill them and they're trying to escape from the aliens.
Do they refer to other alien movies and do they refer to Ellen Ripley or Michael Fassbender's character?
They quote one of the Ellen Ripley lines, which is the famous Ellen Ripley line. Get away from her, you something. I don't know what words I'm allowed to say on air.
Yeah, okay.
And
don't do it.
No, I wouldn't say it anyway because my mom listens. But okay. It's then like there's a character Rook played by, and it's like, okay, now this is gonna blow your mind a small bit. So it's Ian Holm, but he's died, so it's like an AI thing of his face over another actor.
Okay, wow.
So it looked some stages like.
Was that your highlight?
CGI.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. There was just weird things happened in it. And it's like, if you're an alien and these things you might have been looking forward to happening since 1979, great. But I was not. So I don't know. Like, it was, like, I think it's just one of those things. It's not, there's nothing new to it. You know, it's like the alien movies, if they're on a ship, there's aliens trying to kill them, they're escaping it.
Okay.
Now, like, they're on the same ship that they were on before.
Yeah.
And it's like
40 something years ago.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's kind of a remake as a sequel, essentially. But I don't know. I did not have the good riddance time of my life at it.
So. You know what you should have gone to?
Kneecap again.
It Ends With Us.
Oh, I don't know. Any one of my friends that has seen It Ends With Us, I said, would I enjoy it? And they said, Brian, categorically, you would not enjoy this film.
But Brian, it's not all about what you enjoy. It's not all about that.
I know, Orla. But you said
things.
You'd go see it, so I said I'd leave you do that one. And did you go see it? No, you didn't.
No.
So
no,
it's not all on me. I went to see Kneecap, and Kneecap was so much better.
I went to see Kneecap.
Yeah.
Kneecap was so much better.
Yeah. Honestly, it's been a case because Kneecap was so good.
I know.
I'm
listening to a lot of Kneecap at
same.
The moment. Yeah.
But when you get on that lull of like a bad movie and then there's like an okay movie comes out, you're like, oh, I'm so happy
I know.
To see it. But then once you see something like Kneecap and it's such a peak, that then the next film you see, unless it's another great movie, it's gonna be so low, like expectations.
How are cinemas these days when you go and watch stuff? Are they
it's pretty busy.
Empty?
It's pretty busy because
good
people are going to see It Ends With Us. People are going to see like mad.
Yeah, so it's like the Barbies and everything.
There's like a load of girls there, really. There's groups of twos and three girls and some unhappy looking men. And then that seems to be the crowd for It Ends With Us.
If only you'd been one of those unhappy men. But
I know.
No, instead you went to, we're very
girls.
Unhappy and alien Romulus. Let's give it some black puddings.
I'll give it like a 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like if you're into aliens, it's the same way with all horror movies. If you're into horror movies, if you're into this could be the best movie you've ever seen in your entire life.
Mm.
But
I find it weird you're calling it a horror.
It's, but it is, though.
I know,
isn't it?
But it's a science fiction movie. You know, yeah. It's based around a science fiction. The horror is kind of an aside. And it's, to me, that's not horror. Horror to me is eerie and, you know, kind of, what's the one where your one comes out of the well with the long black hair? What
Lassie?
Is that? Yeah, it's massive.
The Ring.
The Ring. That's horror to me. This is just gore.
It just depends on how you see it, though. Because
I know.
If you watch
it
from the aliens' point of view, this could be like a comedy kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
There's a clip that I watched. It was some, you know, one of those clips that they brought out before the whole barrage of PR. And it was just a bloody looking spaceship and lots of people, the sound of people screaming. And yeah. It made me think, I don't need to see this. Don't need to see this sort of stuff.
Yeah, notoriously in space, no one can hear you scream.
Yeah,
now everyone
you're
can
really
hear
on
scream.
The ball today, Brian. It's so yeah. unlike you. Five black puddings.
Yeah, fine. All right, I'll just leave, will I?
Five black puddings out of 10 for Alien Romulus, Brian. Thank you so much.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.